Rouser brings us back. How about a round of applause for Ben Johnson, head coach of the men's team and also one of the true good guys in this town. You're in the middle. You know this better than I. You live it every day, this NIL world, okay, and the turnover. If we would have had a conversation last year about how your program is doing with the NIL compared to how you are now and how you have to adapt to it and what you know about it, what would you say about 2023 compared to 2024?
I would say we're doing a good job of pushing the needle like we need to. I think, you know, it takes time for everyone that's outside of athletics that has to deal with it every day to totally understand what it is and how impactful it can be in a positive way. And I think that just takes time. And so once, you know, that time has set in and people can see it and see how it can be positive and how it can help a program grow and develop and be at the place that we all want it to be, you're able to move the needle. And so I think the next step now is to really embrace it and to go full steam ahead because it's not going anywhere.
No.
And to really try to kill it like I know we can.
Is it next year when the schools themselves start paying the players? Is that when it takes that switch over?
So next year, as far as I've been told as of right now, I believe for the next year in the fall, we'll, you know, hopefully have some revenue shared money.
Okay.
And that's kind of like the next goal. And I think, you know, it's hard to pinpoint exactly the way it's going to go because it's kind of zigged and zagged a little bit.
Right.
It wouldn't surprise me if down the line there's stuff like that. I think there is a lot of truth to a pro-type model. I mean, as we've kind of seen how it's developed.
Sure.
And as you know, when there's a lot of money pouring into something, it gets a little different.
It does get a little bit different, and I totally get it that – it's not going to be probably perfect right at the get-go, but there has to be a bit of revenue sharing here, Ben, right? I think even if you're at one of the power schools where you're supremely benefiting from it, where I'm not saying everything has to be 50-50, it has to be equal, but that opportunity for success should not be disproportionately hurt. Even if the players are finally, and I'm for it, are finally getting money. I'm for it. It's been silly. It should have happened sooner. But you can't make it harder than it was before and just say, well, the kids are better. Yes, the kids are better. I agree. Should have happened sooner. But you have to give people a chance to really compete and maintain players.
No, 100%. And I'm a baseball guy. I've never understood baseball more than I do now because it is. It's the Dodgers and the Twins. And
enormous.
But the hard part is the expectation for both those teams, rightfully so, is the same.
Yeah.
But, you know, the harder thing is to maintain relevance.
Yep.
The only way you can do it is if there's an even playing field where there is revenue share. Otherwise, you're going to see the highs and the lows, and you're going to see the droughts, and no one wants to go through that. And I don't think fans, college sports, administrators want to go through that. You know, I think there's a big push now for – if we can make everything equal, well, then let the best be who the best are, whoever that might be.
Exactly.
And let the kids and the coaches figure it out. And so we're going down that road because if not, again, it's treading uphill in a heavy way if you're not one of the elite programs that has, you know, unlimited money.
I was lucky enough to talk to you the day you landed the job after the press conference. Just a euphoric day, a great day in your life. How are you a different coach now, looking ahead at this season, from who you were that day when you landed the job back at your alma mater?
So much better. you know, nothing prepares you. You know, you can have all the notes and all the, you know, formulas and situations figured out, the first 100 days planned out. But nothing fully prepares you for, you know, running an organization. And there's been so much change. When I first got here, we were just dipping into the transfer portal.
Yep.
That was fresh. That
right.
was new. And now, you know, NIL wasn't even a thing. Paying players wasn't even a thing. And now you're seeing that. So I've learned really quickly you got to be able to adapt. You got to be flexible. You got to be able to go with the punches. You got to be able to, you know, be able to figure things out on your feet. And at the same time, still find ways to be successful, you know, and Mark hired me for a reason. And so it's, you know, every decision that I make, big or small, you know, you really find out how much that impacts, especially long term. You know, you can't make decisions that just impact today because there's repercussions down the line that, you know, in year four or five could kill you.
I still remember a part of the conversation we had when you went through some of the programs in Big Ten and said, I know what happens when we play Purdue. I know what happens when we play Michigan State. I know what happens when we play Wisconsin. They all have a style, right? And you said, it might not happen overnight, but you want people to know when they face a Ben Johnson team, whether it's at Williams or on the road, they'll see that type of style. It's harder to do that now when rosters are turning over. I mean, if pro teams had to deal with the turnover that college basketball teams have to turn over with the NIL, good luck to them. But you still face that challenge. Do you think you've been able to get that imprint so people know if they see a Ben Johnson team, I have an idea, and it's going to change to a certain level from the players, but you're going to know their approach and that style that you see on a regular basis?
Yeah, I hope so. I believe so. I think we've tried to be consistent in, you know, the type of people that we recruit that represent, you know, our program, our university. We try to recruit high level of skill across the board, one through five, guys that can dribble, pass, and shoot. You know, I think guys that have a toughness to them, guys that are about the right stuff about team. And to your point, it is different. You know, my first year, you have a completely new roster of 10 guys. And I knew, you know, to be competitive that year, you had to go older. So none of those guys really returned.
Right.
Right. So year two, to steal the PJ line, is really year one.
Yeah.
Well, that's your base. But I think it shows, like, year one or year two, we took our lumps, but we developed and grew with guys. Well, that was made year three that much better because you had continuity.
Right.
Well, now you lose those guys that you banked on coming back that you're going to have as a junior and senior. They're going to be really good players. Now, part of that is because they worked their butt off, but I think part of it is because we're pretty good at player development. And so those guys get better over time. And so now in year four, you're kind of back a little bit to the drawing board, and you're back to kind of figuring out and going back old to stay, you know, as competitive as we can.
Ben Johnson, Gopher men's basketball coach, is with us. Yeah, you know this as a player who had a lot of success and as a coach. There's always this line we try to figure out, how much have the coaches helped the person, how much the player, and it's always a combination. And with Mitchell and Payne last year, they were good for you all year, getting better as the year went along, and I'm sure they put in a lot of work, and I'm sure you and your staff put in a lot of work for them. Is it easy to put that behind you when they leave, understanding that's the landscape? Or is it tough when I think most people just assumed, okay, they're going to stay, and that's really going to add to a core of this young recruits, what a lot of people are praising young recruits this year, when you're facing it, everybody's facing it, you like him, you get why they did it, but it's still hard to process.
Yeah. No, it is hard. You know, because you put a lot of time in it, and you know, with the freshman that we had, you see the growth, especially from day one, their first year, to, you know, the end of the year, their sophomore year, and you want to be able to selfishly reap the benefits of them. And I think
that's how it's worked in college sports forever.
It is. And you get a little frustrated because you feel like you've tried to build it the right way.
Yep.
And you know, unfortunately, in the new landscape, you know, sometimes your success can be your biggest failure. And I say that to say, during the year last year, I knew, okay, Elijah's leading the country in assists. He's an electric player. Pharrell makes electric plays, NBA-type talent. Cam Christie, who I always thought was going to be a pro. I didn't know it was going to be after his first year, but thought he was going to be a pro. The way he finished, I'm already knowing, all right, to get these guys back, we're going to have to get a little bit lucky, and we're going to have to make sure we hopefully have some money.
Yeah.
And again,
and they got a lot of money in other places.
And that's where the part where you can't be mad, right?
No.
When those guys are able to, you know, get what they're told they were getting, it's hard for me to get mad at them or anybody else for that opportunity.
Yeah.
And then it just, you know, you just got to roll up your sleeves and find the next batch and figure it out through the portal and figure it out through recruiting. I love the young guys that we have and be able to, you know, keep those guys around for multiple years and do the same thing in the portal is the next challenge.
Okay, so let's talk about the young guys. This team, what strikes you most about this team from the kids you recruited, the belief you have in them, and then seeing them when they've been together?
I think the biggest thing is just our age and maturity. We'll be one of the oldest teams in the country, which was intentional. You know, I think you got to make a decision as a coach. If you can afford the crazy high-end talent, obviously you do that. If you're not able to, well, then how can you still be successful? And I think we've all seen in the college landscape, you do that by staying as old as possible.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's
you
great to have – you do. It's great to have the young, fresh talent, but I'll take experience, you know, a lot of times over that. And we have multiple guys that have played over 100 games, that have had success wherever they were, whether it was, you know, all-league, defense player of the year, second-team all-league, leading scorer. And so there's a maturity to them. We're light years ahead offensively and defensively in terms of our scheme and our system just because they can process quicker and faster. They know the game. They've been great for our younger guys because it's forced our younger guys to now be more mature because they're competitors. They don't want to be the weakest link.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're in a room with 22, 23, and Parker is going to be 26 and the way they go about their work and their habits. And so it's a fun group. Again, a really mature group and, you know, one that I think is going to really fight to be competitive.
Couple more moments with Ben Johnson, Gopher men's basketball coach. This is also, I mean, too hard to believe the Big Ten is now based in L.A. with two teams there and yeah. Oregon here. Do you have a feel for what that's going to be like yet? I mean, I'm not even sure PJ has it. The football coaches have it yet. It's what the world is. Who knows? We might be down to three conferences in a couple of years. But how is this going to play out with basketball, do you think?
It's going to be interesting. I think this is a year where we're all going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, luckily we're dead in the middle. So when we travel east or west, that's huge. It is huge, especially when you're dealing with young people come January, February, when they're tired of making a cross-country trip and multiple time zones. I think the one thing, especially for the West Coast and East Coast schools, is going to be is, you know, when you go out, you're going to go out for a week. So this year, Oregon, Washington come to play us. We go out to L.A.
Yeah.
So you'll play both those schools.
I'm willing to go on that trip, too, in case if you need any help.
Yeah. Hopefully it's, you know, dead of January. But the challenge for those guys, and hopefully it's to our advantage, is, all right, you go all the way East Coast for a week, three time zones, you get acclimated.
Yeah.
Then you got to fly all the way back. Well, typically that's the game you got to win is the one at home.
Yes.
It's great if you can steal one on the road, but as you know,
you
bank on winning the ones at home. Well,
yeah.
In January, February, and those kids are tired of making those trips. If the year is not going great,
Well,
maybe you can take advantage of being on the road and getting one of those LA teams when we go out there. So we'll see. I mean, I just think it's a wait and see and survival mode kind of right now in year one until things get stabilized, I think, for everybody.
I always appreciate you stopping on by. I wish you only the best.
Thanks for having me, man. I always love it.
He is a good man, and he is doing a good job over at the U of M. How about a round of applause for Ben Johnson? Check him out at Williams. Williams is still a great place to watch basketball.